John the sixth. I want to talk about you and about me. I am a Christian. You are Christians. I want you to stop and think about that whenever we say that. What does that really mean? Now, I know in our fellowship of churches, we've always used the term disciple, which is right. I mean, that's what they were called, disciples of Jesus. But sometimes I think familiarity has bred contempt. We think that a disciple is just somebody that's a member of the New York City Church Choir, the Fellowship of International Churches of Christ. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who is. Doesn't pretend to be. Is somebody who is. And I want us to look at something in John the sixth chapter. Earlier in the sixth chapter, Jesus fed the 5,000. Tremendous miracle. And then he leaves on the boat and goes across the lake. The people wake up and they go, "Where is he?" And someone said, "Oh, he's across the lake." So this whole crowd goes. And let's start there. Ramon, we can put it up there. John 6 and in verse 16. And I want you to, if you need to close your eyes and put yourself back in the situation, I want you to see Jesus, the Master, Christ. We are Christians. Okay? Verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he's given me, but raise him up the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. We have a situation here where people got a free lunch. It was a miracle supposed to demonstrate that Jesus was not your everyday rabbi. That God had intervened in his world. And yet, what did the people take away from that? Free lunch? What can Jesus do for me? And they went after him. And he says, you're not here to really learn anything. You're not here looking for the true bread of life. You're here because you just got free lunch. You're here for the flesh. You're here making all about yourself. And the sad thing about it, you're missing the whole picture. God is coming to the world to bring us home. And you're thinking about your stomach. And people started to grumble, and then he started to turn it up. And he used the metaphor, you need to eat my flesh, drink my blood. He's not talking about cannibalism. He was there. He was, you know, alive. So what's he talking about? He says, you know what? This is not a casual thing. You want to follow me? You want to be a Christian? It is not casual. You don't just kind of, well, I'll just kind of, if I feel like it. You live because of him. I live because of him. Sometimes when I'm preaching commitment, sometimes people think, well, you know, that's what you get paid to do, right? It's your job. You know what? I can preach wonderful things out of the Bible and just be as far from God as anybody.
Yes.
Me doing what I'm doing is no guarantee of anything.
Yeah.
And sadly, there have been many examples
of
that throughout history. I have to live because Christ lives. I don't have to collect a paycheck. I don't have to do this to make people just, oh, that was wonderful or something. No, I have to live, me, myself, because I am a Christian, a learner of Jesus Christ. And what that means is, you know what? I don't make the decisions in my life about how I'm going to live. Jesus Christ, who is Lord, He makes that decision. I don't put Him on hold. I don't get around to Him. That's an insult. That's an insult. You know what? Also, I don't expect people that aren't Christians to live as Christians. I don't expect that of them. Now, I can tell them, I wish you would come, but I don't want anyone to do anything if they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is not one of those join the church of your choice advertisements. I am a Christian because He is my life. You are a Christian because He is your life. That's what you believe about Him. Jesus lost almost everybody. Now, why didn't He go back and, oh, I'm so, did I hurt somebody's feelings? Was He compassionate? Yes. Did He love? Yes. But He knew this. People didn't know how to save themselves. They don't know how to get their sins forgiven. They don't know the life they were created to live. They don't know that. If they did, He wouldn't have come. So He came in with all authority and said, this is the way it is. So me being a Christian, I am a Christian. That means I live because of Him. It means I believe He is the Holy One of Israel. He's not a more enlightened human being. He's not a better way. This is not a more wonderful religion. He's none of that. He is God. He is the way, the truth, the life, period. I don't need to add. I don't need to just, you know, figure it out. That's what I believe. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We believe that. And because we believe that, we are so interested in what He has to say. Because we believe that, we feel like, wow, you know, He's got a perspective. He created all of this, so He really... Wow, you know what? I don't understand everything. I need to depend on Him. I need direction. I need power. I need all of this for Him. That is what a Christian does. Holy One of Israel, separate and apart from. You know what? We are all broken people.
Right.
Not a one of us has a right or leg. I have no right leg to look down on anybody. Well, I've been a Christian for X amount of years, and I read my Bible every day. That's a gift! That's a gift! Anybody can do it! I'm a broken individual. But the difference is, because He's the Holy One of Israel, we confess our sins. We repent of sins. And that's why the scriptures are so amazing. Hebrews 7, Romans 8, they talk about that Jesus lives to intercede for me. You know what that means? He knew I was going to sin. Wow, I got baptized. Oh, all my sins are forgiven. Oh no, I got the rest of my life to live. I hope I don't sin. He always lives because He knows I will. So there's a way I can keep getting forgiven. But what's my part in it? Confession and repentance. Not trying to get away with it. Not trying to rationalize it. Not trying to excuse it. Not trying to live a double life.
Right.
Not insult God. I am a Christian. So I confess my sins, and I repent of my sins. And you know what's going to happen this coming week? I'm going to sin some way. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not planning it. It's not in my schedule book. I just know it's going to happen. Because I'm a broken individual. So you know what's going to happen? I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to repent. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be forgiven. And I'm going to look at God and say, you know, why do you keep forgiving me? My goodness, because I'm God. My mercy, my grace goes deeper than you could even think of. As far as the east is from the west. And that's what you're going to do. But I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, we have an attitude about sin. You are not a hypocrite if you are confessing and repenting. But if you're not doing that, then you are. You're not really a Christian. Okay? Because we believe He is the Holy One of Israel. We also believe, as a Christian, that He has the words of eternal life. Jesus says, you know what? As everyone's leaving, He says, the words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. The words He spoke to them did not make sense. They were thinking, man, I just want a free lunch. I want, what can Jesus do for me? I want my marriage helped. I want help with parenting. I want to be part of a family. I loved a social thing. You know what? That's fine. But that's not the reason I'm a Christian. That's the fruits. The minute the fruits become the reason, it's idolatry. And all of a sudden, we're doing the same thing these people are doing. All right. What is Jesus here for? Just to do something in my life. Make my life go my way. What's the church here for? Make my life go my way. No. We are Christians. He has the words of eternal life. You know what that means? We read it, and it's like, wow, that's different. I'm afraid. Okay. I don't want to do it. Okay. But you know what? Him being God means His perspective is greater than mine. I use this analogy over and over and over again, and I always use it. We are like toddlers. That's probably even too embellishing. Toddlers really believe they're right.
Yeah.
So do we adults. You could hook a toddler up to a lie detector. That little thing would pass it all the time, the flying colors. Sticking your finger into an electric socket is good for your health. Man, they would just pass that like nobody's business. Eating dirt and bugs hanging across, that's good nutrition. I mean, they pass it. They just, and you try it. Watch a parent. This is one of the most fun comic episodes of all time, is to watch a parent reason with a toddler. You say, be a parent! There is no reasoning with the toddler. They do what you say, period.
Right.
Now why? Because you're on some ego trip. If you are, you need to repent. That isn't. They do it because their brain ain't grown yet. They don't know. You're the parent. You know the situation. You have the perspective. And so you expect for the good of that toddler to do exactly what you say when you say it. And you dedicate yourself to that. We are even less than toddlers when it comes to God. What we had to do previously, I don't want to do. I want to just, let me take some of the parts of the Bible. Hey, let's just kind of love each other. Of course, we don't define that. It becomes this, don't say anything or get involved, and everyone smiles, which is not love.
Right.
But let me just go to Psalm 20. The Lord is my shepherd, and I can think deep spiritual thoughts on Him. I mean, I'd like to do that. But here's the thing. Everything we've done, and the challenge I'm giving you now from John 6, you go back and read it. Are you going to be a Christian? Those words are spirit and they are life. Everything we've done is for the good of God and mankind. In my Christian life, I've undergone discipline. And I'm not talking about pushing away from oatmeal raisin cookies. I've had to do that too. I'm talking about people have disciplined me, the church. Did I like that? No. I've been rebuked and corrected. Did I wake up that morning? Oh, Lord, please let me get rebuked and corrected today. I just can't wait. No. Did not like it. I'm here today by the grace of God because I believed that the words Christ has spoken are spirit and they are life. I believe that. And all of a sudden, I was able to see at a later time, when I'm going through it, it's like, oh no, that's why we've got to believe in Him and have faith. He is the Christ. Then, but later on, I see, wow, now it makes sense. It doesn't when you're going through it.
Nope.
But see, that's why Peter said, you know what? You alone have the words of eternal life. I mean, think what Peter was thinking. He had followed Jesus. And we're winning people. We got a great crowd, fed 5,000. Man, this is, I'm part of something successful. This is wonderful. And then they all leave. And he's there with the 12. What happened? You had all of your hopes, all your expectation, all your... Well, if you're into that, you're a disaster waiting to happen spiritually. But if you focus on Jesus and believe that He is why you live, believe He is the Holy One that God has sent, and believe that He has the words alone. He has the words of eternal life. And that's your focus. You know what? No matter what happens, you are still walking that line. Confessing sin, repenting of sin, getting continually forgiven. But you are doing that. And you are reaching and grabbing the hands of everyone else that wants to do that. We hear 2,000 some years later, we'll hear sermons about Simon Peter and wasn't he great and all that? He was. His faith was great. But it goes back to times like this. When you're all alone and you've got to decide, am I going to be a Christian? Am I really going to live for Christ? Believe He's the Holy One of God and have a holy life and trust His Word. I want to close with Psalm 16. While I'm reading this, if the singers would go ahead and be coming up, taking your place on the podium here. In Psalm 16, and in verse 5, David says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. You guys are amazing. I know this has been a difficult day. In any family it would be. But let me tell you what, our boundaries have fallen in very pleasant places, individually. God has put boundaries in our life. And within that we have all of the blessings of heaven, all of the power of God's Spirit. He's leading you. He's leading us. We just need to always reaffirm every day, yes, I am a Christian. I believe Jesus Christ is God. I commit my life to Him. I follow Him. What you see is what you get. I am broken, but I confess, I repent, and I keep on keeping on because God, Jesus, I pray that tonight, today, you'll put your arms around each other, encourage each other with these words, and give God the glory.